Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here on the air. Nathan Allen joins us this morning. He's a 2006 graduate of Atlantic High School, and he's also had, since that time he graduated from high school, he's had an awful lot of experience as part of the United States Army, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for taking a little time with us. I know a lot of folks have been asking you a lot of questions when you've been able to get back here in the area recently about the recent movie, The Hornet's Nest, that was all about a few missions that your group went on, and we're going to talk about that here, but I guess I want to go back from the beginning. You joined the Army. Why?
I joined the Army because none of my friends really had joined in the military. I had a few friends, you know, and you look up to people like Matt Herring and my neighbor, Jim Kicklin. His father, Haley Kicklin's grandpa, was a POW, you know, in World War II. So you just see those guys, and you just kind of want to start your own legacy and what you can do for this country. So I kind of wanted to do it for those reasons, and, you know, I didn't want my family and friends to have to go over and fight a war for me. I kind of wanted to do it for them and, you know, my friends' future kids and my siblings' future kids.
101st Airborne, that's a legendary unit, and you were able to be a part of that. How impressive was that for you when you were assigned there?
Oh, it was a jaw-dropper for sure. You know, I kind of wanted to be close to my hometown because I was a kid and I missed hunting and stuff like that, but I decided to go to the 101st on orders, and I'm glad I went there. Honestly, it was probably one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had in my life. You know, you go down there and you run down the street for PT in the morning, and the streets are named after all the wars they've won or the battles they've been in and the battles that they've won. You know, most notably Bastogne Avenue. I mean, that's all you think about when you're running PT. Yeah, you may be a mile 8 or 10 when you're running, and you just look at the street signs, Bastogne, like, this is nothing compared to what those guys went through. So it was a very humbling experience, and I'm glad I was a part of that unit.
Yeah, it truly is a band of brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, and you have a lot of camaraderie there, I assume, as well. Well, probably a lot with some of the exploits and things. You ended up overseas, and I know another number of folks have seen the movie The Hornet's Nest here in the area in recent days, and their jaws dropped watching some of the things that you guys had to go through at times. We sometimes sit back and we understand you're in harm's way. We understand that, you know, at times people are shooting at you and things, and you're never safe no matter where you are, but I don't think people realize just how difficult these assignments can be. Did you know exactly what you were getting into when you were sent there?
Yes and no. It changed a lot before we deployed. You know, they said that we were going to be up in the mountains and we'd have no air cover because we'd be too high up in altitude and stuff like that. And it slowly changed from we would go down to the hellish southern area of Afghanistan, and then they were like, no, you guys are going up north. So, you know, we watched a bunch of documentaries up there that were pretty old and read a lot of books that were put out for leadership to read to kind of help us better understand the way they fight and the way they are up there. And we had a soldier that was from the 173rd Airborne the time the movie Restrepo was shot, and he kind of told us a little bit about what was going up there. And he's like, there's no way to explain it. It's hell. And, I mean, it truly was. You know, we went up there, and these people don't know what's going on. You know, they're like little mountain villages. And we went into this one mountain village that was clear back, and they thought we were the Russians. They're like, you guys are still around? It's like, no, we're the Americans. And they're like, oh, when did you guys get here? You know, so, you know, we're year 10 into this war when I was there. So it was just, you don't know what you're getting into fully, and these people don't know what you're doing there. So you kind of have to explain it to them. But man, you're right up there on the Pakistan border, and they're fully just coming out of that Madrasa school where they learn the Taliban, where they get brainwashed, and they're ready to fight because they just crossed the border, and you really have no expectations because everything goes out the window when you get there.
So you guys really do scout the opponent before you get into battle there, too. And I think a lot of folks back here probably think of these folks as, you know, gosh, you'd think you'd underestimate them. They live almost biblically. I mean, they live in caves. They live in huts. They, you know, they in some cases, they don't have any of the modern conveniences that we look at. And you'd think from a distance that this would be a walkover, but they apparently are fierce fighters.
Oh, I mean, these people, not even the fighters, just the kids, you know, they're amazed by pens. You know, they draw with charcoal and stuff like that. And you show them a pen and they're amazed by it. You know, it's just, that's the way these people are. But the fighters alone, you know, they'll fight with weapons that are 100 years old. You know, sometimes they'll fire, sometimes they won't. And you mean, luckily, sometimes, you know, the munitions are like that too. I was up in one of our main bases, and a mortar round came in, hit 3 feet from my bed. But luckily, the mortar round was like 20 to 30 years old, and it was a dud. You know, otherwise, there would have been gone my whole room and, you know, maybe some more of my platoon mates, my soldiers. So, I mean, they have no idea why they are fighting. They just realize that, oh, these Christians are coming in and trying to change our religion. That's what they think. That's what they get told. So they're fighting just like they did the Russians and clear back when, you know, they think we're just trying to turn them into Christians.
Sure.
What they're fighting for.
Well, Nate, was it difficult to keep up morale when you're there for such a lengthy period of time and you're dealing with situations like that?
No, not really. I mean, like you see in the movie, at the end of the movie, there's a guy dancing around and he's still checking the Afghans out, making sure they didn't have any bombs or guns on them. But, I mean, you do stupid stuff like that. We went up on a mountaintop one of the many times we did it. And, you know, you try to count how many bombs we dropped, you know. And you just do stupid stuff just to keep your morale up and make you laugh and joke like that. One of the times during the movie, AC's wife, Eric Chaga's wife, she was kind of upset the first time she saw that movie because she's like, well, my husband got killed, and the next day these people are laughing. Like, and it made her feel horrible inside. Like, how can these people be laughing right after my husband was killed? And then the director and a few of the people said, we're not laughing at your husband. We're laughing about all the good memories we've had with him. And that's what you do. I mean, you come so close of, you're closer than brothers.
Right.
And, I mean, you know how to perk somebody up if they're having a down time. And then there's other times where, you know, hey, we just need to leave them alone. But, you know, the morale is what keeps you together over there, because you don't get to talk to your family every day. You don't. So the bond between soldiers is incredible, and you know that's the morale that keeps us going over there. And yeah, there are hard times, you know, because you can't come home for everything. You know, your dog died, or you know your sister went into the hospital because she got sick. There's nothing you can do about it. So you know you have your brothers over there that you know kind of talk you down. And I created a softball field on our little base, you know, so we played softball, and I had my mom or somebody send over water balloons, and we had a water balloon fight, just stuff like that, you know.
Sure, sure. Try to keep it as light as you can and forget about what you're really doing sometimes. Nate, can you talk a little bit about that day? You suffered near-fatal injuries up on that ridge. Can you talk a little bit about that day? Was it difficult for you at all to watch the movie, to relive all of that?
I had a very hard few years after that happened. For the simple fact, you know, I was there every time my platoon got in a firefight, and you know, I was one of those hellions that didn't care if they were getting shot at. I just keep going out there and, you know, checking on my soldiers and making sure they were good and they weren't hit, and doing weapons and ammo count. But when I watched it, you know, I was going after Private Faulkner because I knew who he got shot. So I was going after him and trying to look for him down the mountain. And we already had a heavy heart because we just found out that Sergeant Burgess didn't make it. He died on the operating table. And, you know, everything went out of my mind after, you know, we started getting shot at. You know, you don't really think about anything there except the guys to your left and right. I don't really remember it much because we got blown up by a houseborne IED. So I got thrown on my back, and I got up, and I just remember them saying, Faulkner's hit. And I had a PL that was there, Lieutenant Pomeroy, is like, you want to go with? I'm like, yeah, I'll lead out. Let's go. you know, that's kind of one of the last few things I remember. I remember looking down the mountain a few times, and next thing I know, I look down, and I have blood all the way from my armpit down to my boot. So I watched it earlier this year with my first sergeant, who was with us on the mountain, and he kind of glued everything together for me, because I was in the hospital. You know, like they say in the movie, it's supposed to be a three-day mission, and it turned into 9 days. So when I got back to America, I was calling my platoon sergeant's wife saying, hey, have you heard from them? How are they doing? Has anybody else gotten wounded? She's like, I don't know. They're still not back. And, you know, that went on for 3 days, me calling her. She's like, Nathan, I don't know. I'll call you. And, you know, I'm just there in a hospital bed feeling like a piece of shit because I got shot and these guys are out there still in the hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped. That movie helped you out a lot just because I got to see what was going on. You know, I didn't screw them over too bad. And, you know, it was just that first day when we got messed up. So it's a good movie to help me out in that aspect.
Well, and I know the recovery was long and difficult at times for you, but I guess there was one shining light in there. I guess you met your wife that way.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. You know, the first day I got there, I took 2 steps and I had to sit down because I couldn't walk because they cut me from the V in my chest all the way down right above my private region to try to find the bullet. So I had to learn how to, you know, stand up again and gain strength to walk and stuff like that. And the shining light was, you know, those nurses there, you know, they're behind the scenes. People don't think of nurses as being helpful and saviors, but, you know, I had a great group of nurses there that he was a Marine recon, blew out both of his knees. And, you know, another one had a husband that was in the 101st as well. So he'd come in and visit me. And, you know, they see a lot of stuff, you know, but those nurses don't get the credit they deserve. And, yeah, I mean, they'd walk me. When I slowly began to start walking, they'd get a walker, and, you know, they'd joke around themselves like, oh, who wants to take the dog out for a walk today? You know, and that would be me walking up down the halls, and then once I got good enough to go down the halls, they'd take me outside. And that first breath of air I took out on American soil was, I started crying, you know, because, you know, it was a nice day, and that was the first time I saw, you know, the grass from being back in Afghanistan, So, yeah, it helped me out. And, you know, my wife has used that, you know, she deployed to the Helmand province of Afghanistan. She had a Marine that had basically the same thing happen to him. He lost 4 of his buddies in a firefight, and he got shot 3 or 4 times. And she went through the story of what happened to me. She's like, I don't know what you've gone through, but this is what happened to my husband. And, you know, you can't just sit here and think, you know, poor me, you know, why should I be here? They didn't. She's like, you need to turn that around and use it as a life experience and saying, you know, these guys gave their lives. Now I'm going to live my life for them. And before he flew out, you know, he thanked her. He's like, you know, thank you, Captain. You probably just saved my life. Because, you know, a lot of people live with these graphic images in their head, and, you know, how do you live through that? You know, it's just one of those things that you just put down deep inside and you never want to talk to people about. And that's something that this movie helps out people out with. There was a third generation Marine that his name's Rory. You know, he lost his leg on the third deployment. Mike was embedded with him on a second. He was a third generation Marine. You know, that's all he knows. That's all he wanted to do. He gets there, gets his leg blown off his third deployment. And he was honestly thinking about putting the gun to his head and pulling the trigger until this movie came out. And he's been such a great person with this movie and so, you know, dedicated to it that he said, for sure, this movie saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, this movie opens up those conversations with your loved ones. You know, you go to watch it with them, and hopefully that helps them open up to you and tell you what they've been through.
Well, and being able to have that dialogue can really be, as you said, a lifesaver for some folks. World War II veterans, there are some of them who went 50 years or more without ever speaking a word because they just didn't feel like they should talk about it. And that's a difficult way to go through life. You know, put it in perspective, Nate, you know, in 2006, you probably go out one day on the boys' golf team at Atlantic High School and you shoot a poor round and you're mad and you think it's the worst day of the world. And a few years later, here you are put in a whole different situation. It kind of puts everything back into perspective.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes, it very much does.
Well, Nate, I want to thank you so much for spending a little time with us here today. I know you've been speaking to a lot of groups and folks about the movie, and it's been something that I think has really touched a lot of people. Everybody, it seems like, has seen that movie, has said they need to see it again because they're sure they missed some things along the way. It's really more than just a movie for a lot of folks. I think it's a life-changing opportunity for folks to see what really, truly does go on and what folks are doing every day to help folks live free here in this world. And we want to thank you for your service, and we appreciate it very much and salute you for all you've done.
Hey, I wanted to say thank you very much, Jim, for having me on here, and I wanted to thank the Land community for having the film there, and definitely thank them for what they did for the Honor Ride. That was for the Honor Flight. That was truly a touching experience, you know, looking at all the patriotism in that such a small community, and that was very humbling to watch that.